Good evening. The show begins tonight in Ukraine with Colonel Jeff McCausland looking at the Kursk salient collapsing around the Ukrainians. We're told, fog of war. The Russian offensive includes North Korean troops, we're told, fog of war. There was a report in the last 40 hours that there was a Ukrainian unit negotiating to surrender. No confirmation. In any event, we're looking at a ceasefire offer to Moscow. No reply as of this moment. And Ukraine is worn out in the Kursk salient, which was always meant as a bargaining chip. It might still be. There's not much left. Sudzha is said to have fallen, but everything bounces back and forth in the battlefield. Andrew McCarthy and Thaddeus McCotter joined to talk about two cases of note these days. The first is the question of the USAID monies, billions and billions, but $2 billion in particular are programs that have already underway. A judge named Amir Ali in Washington District, D.C. Court, ordered the State Department to pay immediately in 36 hours, something decisive like that. The Supreme Court said, rewrite the opinion. It's still the opinion originally that the court has ordered USAID money paid out to NGOs. Well, only one NGO joined the suit that went to the Supreme Court. There's some debate as to whether that's the one that gets paid and the rest don't. There's also a comment that the State Department was in the process of sorting out and paying those who've done the work already. It's remarkably getting a lot of attention, the USAID money. It's a small piece of the story. However, it tells a good story. It tells a good tale, a yarn. We also talk about the deporting of someone with a green card. His name is Khalil. He's a graduate student at Columbia University, married to an American citizen. Is not an American citizen himself. And the State Department had him detained. He's in Louisiana hearing a deporting court. And there's a challenge to whether the Secretary of State's opinion is adequate, whether there should be oversight. Mr. Rubio says, we wouldn't have let him in if we'd known what he was going to do in representing and advocating the violence and illegality on Columbia campus in favor of fill in the blank. It's in the news for moments, and then it'll be resolved. Theresa Fallon from Brussels about how Brussels, EU, NATO, doubting America. Why not? They've trusted America for 80 years. Try the other side. Don't really know where they're going. Theresa says they're finally getting organized. What took them 3 years of warfare to say we can do this on our own? Good for them, if it's true. The China fishing fleet off of Argentina. Jim Holmes joins Gordon Chang and myself. Why? Fishing would be one answer, but then again, Argentina is special in South America. It's got a President Milei who's very disposed towards the Trump administration. It's a puzzle. Provocations in North Korea, they fired some rockets. They've not got much attention. David Maxwell joins to comment on that. And then Rebecca Grant comments on the joint exercises Russia, China, and Iran off the coast of Oman. Projecting power. People's Republic of China. Tariffs, reciprocal tariffs. You raise it 25, I'll raise it 50. Joined by David Hebert, writing at the Civitas Institute about reciprocal tariffs. Not recommended since Adam Smith. Possibly appropriate when dealing with a hostile adversary, not allies, friends, and trade partners, says Adam Smith, 1776. David Hebert's opinion hasn't changed from Adam Smith. Reciprocal tariffs are not successful when used against allies. Somalia, the Shabab and Al-Qaeda affiliate in East Africa, is on the march, advancing against the authorities, what's left of them, in Somalia. This is a battle that's been going on for decades. The U.S. got involved in the George H.W. Bush administration long time ago, the early 90s, and it's still struggling. It's a broken state. Mogadishu, the capital, is where the government is, and the African Union is supporting it, sort of. Bill Raggio and I talked to Caleb Weiss, who's stationed in Africa and covers the Somalia affair. Savagery and modern weapons. East Africa, West Africa, same story. Follow it as best we can through Caleb Weiss's eyes. The missing cafes and wine bars in rural France. Simon Constable lives in rural France, and the French legislature has decided there's been too much decline. There were 200,000 bars and cafes with alcohol, could serve alcohol in the 1960s. Now there are 36,000, and they're concentrated in suburbs and big cities. So they want them to return to rural France, which is where Simon lives. I urged him to ask for a license. Serve a glass of wine, get subsidized by the government. Sounds like easy living. And SpaceX, the rumor is, the talk is, they've got to rebuild Starship 2. Something's wrong. We'll see. Musk said there'll be another flight by 6 weeks. April, May, somewhere in there. My memory of Musk's timeline is that it's flexible. He says a year could be five. He says 6 months, it could be fill in the blank. But he's a positive thinker. Good for him. And Blue Ghost Supremacy. Blue Ghost, a private probe, has landed on the moon. It's sitting there successfully. Congratulations to Blue Ghost and to Firefly, the company that sponsored Blue Ghost. On its side is Athena, launched by Intuitive Machines. It's a pity. Twice now, they've landed and fallen over. Redesign time, perhaps. But it's a delicate enough affair, and they're getting it done most of the way. There's much more to the show. I hope you enjoy it, especially Simon Constable's Stroll Down Memory Lane, the March 2000.com crash. Remember it well, on my way to Disney World with the children. Was 5,000, and then suddenly it was 3,000, and it continued to go down for another 2 years. Those were the days. Buy when there's blood in the street, is the proverb. Boy, there was blood for years. Thank you for listening.